Hi everyone, this is Kiri Arentakai doing a cold reading of my own fic, Fulfill Your Duties Calmly and Respectfully, Reflect Before You Snack. So I'm going to try not to ramble too long, although that's always a challenge for me, but I just wanted to say a couple of things about this reading, which is that this is the first time I've ever tried cold reading podfic, and I haven't done podfic in a million years at all. And I'm nervous because while I have watched most of The Untamed, and I've been watching the cartoon on YouTube, I cannot pronounce Chinese names properly. I don't speak Chinese. So I'm going to be working mostly off of what I've heard from other podfickers, and I've got a, you know, opinion chart that makes noise, and what I've heard in the media, which is imperfect because I can't hear it properly. So I'm really sorry if I do any of that badly. The main reason that I'm really interested in cold reading podfic is because podfic in sort of a produced way, I think, would be difficult for me to do in a sustained way, especially because I don't really listen to music. And I listen to podfic so much, I feel like I rely on it so much in my life, that I really wanted to contribute. And my own perspective, it's like that bad joke about sex, which actually isn't true about sex, that, you know, like, even bad pizza is still pizza. So for me, even bad podfic is still podfic. So I thought I would at least give it a shot and see how it goes. Because I'm not convinced it's going to go well, I'm doing my own fic and not somebody else's. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Okay, so the rating on this fic is Teen and Up. No archive warnings. The ship is Lanzhan Lanlongji. Wei Ying, Wei Wushan. The additional tags are Mulan AU, gay panic, but also straight panic, disguised as a woman, homophobic but resigned, Lan Turen, a lot of hand waving, getting together, no one dies, crack, identity porn, and I promise there's no actual Jiang Yanli and Meng Wenji content. Okay, so the summary. Meng Wenji knows he's always been constant. He rarely changes his mind, and never about important matters. He has known, for as long as he could remember, that somehow he didn't fit into society's expectations of him. When he was 13, he learned that it was because he would never love a woman as his father did, or his grandfather. He's always been constant. He's always been certain of himself. Until he met Jiang Yanli, aka Mulan AU, featuring both gay and straight panic. So, author's notes. And I'm going to try not to make this like an author's commentary throughout, but I'll read the notes at the beginning. So, I can't justify this. The concept of a Mulan AU popped into my head and wouldn't leave, and here we are. This is intensely unrealistic in an extremely Disney way. If you ask a single logical question at any point, the entire thing will unravel. Please be prepared for an extreme amount of hand-waving. I explain nothing. I really enjoyed writing this and feeling involved in a new fandom after such a long time. As an extreme non-expert on anything to do with MDZS content, this is not meant to be firmly rooted in any version of canon. Tons of thanks are due to my cheerleader, test reader. Please let me know if I missed any relevant tags or warnings. Chapter 1. Lan Wangji is not a man without flaws. He knows this. He knows himself very well. He's never shied away from introspection. He knows he can be stubborn and rigid. He knows he has a tendency to look to the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. He knows he can be awkward and seem cold to others. He knows he is not a bad man. He's a man who holds family above all else. Above all except, perhaps, the values his family stands for. Justice, duty, protection of the weak, selflessness. He knows that he's a good brother and a good nephew, mostly. He's a hard worker who hones his natural talent with tremendous effort and dedication to be one of the best warriors and cultivators of his generation. He knows he's always been constant. He rarely changes his mind and never about important matters. He has known, for as long as he could remember, that somehow he didn't fit into society's expectations of him. When he was 13, he learned that it was because he would never love a woman as his father did, or his grandfather did. He heard the term cut sleeve and had known, that that was what he was. He's always been constant. He's always been certain of himself. Until he met Jiang Yanli. It started as soon as she arrived at the camp. Lan Bangji was aware that the scions of other major cultivation sects had been summoned to join the war against the Huns, even if they had never been formally trained before. Jiang Cheng, the Zheng sect heir, had already been fighting on the front lines for some time, so it was his sister who was called up, along with others who had avoided joining the war to this point, like the younger Nie brother, the Jin sect heir, and the Wen nephew. He'd heard at least that Wen Chenglin was a good archer, so they wouldn't all be total disasters. Zheng Yunli was expected to come with a retinue of handmaidens who would also be trained. Lan Mengji had never heard much about her before. He'd always been more interested in military matters than in cultivation world politics. He was vaguely aware that she was in some kind of from-the-cradle engagement to the Jin boy, but he planned to treat her the same as he was treating everyone else he was helping train. It was his job to make sure they had the tools to survive and succeed in the war, to help protect their nation. He was not interested in making friends, or political alliances, or, God forbid, giving his uncle any ideas about marrying him off to a woman. He told his uncle time and time again that it wouldn't be happening, but his uncle was as stubborn as any other Lan. He first saw her when she and her ladies had been stopped by the guards at the entrance, his eye drawn by a woman's loud voice arguing with one of the men stationed there. "You can't be serious," she said. "You're actually taking away my wine?" As Lan Wenji approached them, he noticed her height, her animated eyes, her strong jaw, her shining hair delicately dressed with lotus ornament. "Lady Zhang," he greeted as he bowed to her. She seemed slightly startled for a moment, but returned the gesture. "I am Lan Wenji, the commander of this camp." "Lan Wenji, the second jade of Lan! Wonderful! I'm so glad you came over. An honorable and handsome gentleman such as yourself would never dream of depriving a lady of her wine, would he?" She winked at him with one of her laughing eyes. He felt a little flip in his stomach, and heat rising to his face. Who in the world spoke like this? To an unknown man? She was shameless, and, heavens help him, a little charming. "This is a military training camp. Alcohol is not allowed," he replied, aware of how stiff he sounded. "Surely one little exception couldn't hurt," she wheedled. "I'll even share it with you, if you'd like to have dinner with me tonight." "No," he bit out as he grabbed the wine in question. He smashed the bottle on the ground and swept away as quickly as he could, before she could do any more winking or suggesting they spend time together. "See if I share any of the other wine I brought with you after that," she called out after him. He whirled around to glare at her, opened his mouth to demand she hand the rest of it over. Before he could, she smiled broadly at him and turned back to her attendants, continuing the process of having her people and goods brought into the camp. Lan Wangji walked back to his tent in what he hoped was an appropriately dignified manner. Training this batch of new recruits was going to be less routine than he had been expecting. The next morning saw the new cultivators collected in the clearing at the center of the camp, ready to be instructed. Lan Wangji stood in front of them, taking in the group. They had all lined up, as was appropriate. All except... I'm here, Jiang Yanli called out, running to take her place in the line. Her two handmaidens followed behind her at a more sedate pace. She skidded to a stop and looked over at the other recruits, then froze. "Jiang Yanli," Jin Zixuan bit out in acknowledgement. "It has been a long time since we have had occasion to meet." "Yes, Jiang Yanli had released some of the tension from her shoulders, but her cheeks were still flushed. "A very long time. I didn't expect to see you here. It's nice to see you." Jin Zixuan looked at her with displeasure. "You are very tall." "If you are done flirting," Lan Mengji's voice fell like a sword, "we will begin the day's activities." "Flirting?" he heard Jin Zixuan whisper in an outraged tone to the woman standing next to him. Lan Wangji consulted his list. Well, I stopped to verify the pronunciation of some of the names, and then went back and read about 3,000 more words, and of course had not actually pressed record again. So, we're going to try again. Lan Wangji consulted his list. He knew who Jiang Yanli was, unfortunately. The flush on her cheeks was, well, fine. He guessed. "Who are your attendants?" Lan Wangji asked her. "Oh, this is Mu Jinju," she said, pointing to the woman on her left, "and Mu Yinju," to the one on her right. They both wore jiangsek purple and sharp expressions. "And yours?" Lan Wangji asked Jin Zixuan. "I am Luo Qingyang," the woman said, bowing properly. However, as she was preparing for her bow, Jin Zixuan elbowed her and said, "This is Mian Mian," which really spoiled the dignity of the moment. "Luo Qingyang," Lan Wangji bowed back, wanting to reward the only person who apparently knew how to behave in this horrifying group. He then looked to the man, the boy, really, standing next to her. "I'm Wen Ning. No, wait, I'm sorry, Wen Chenglin." The boy reddened and looked at his feet. "I'm not used to introducing myself." "I am Ye Huaisan," the last man in the row said, before anyone could comment on Wen Ning's awkwardness. He fidgeted with the fan he held at his side. A fan. He was holding a fan, not a sword. A fan. This was even worse than he expected. "You may begin by memorizing the rules of the camp," said Lan Wangji, gesturing at seven scrolls sitting on a rock, which he had carefully prepared for this purpose. Hopefully you can't hear the dog. "Memorizing rules?" Jiang Yanli let out, as if she couldn't keep the words in. One of the Mu sisters turned her sharp gaze on her. The other looked like she was trying not to smile. Lan Wangji ignored the fact that the outraged expression on Jiang Yanli's face made him want to smile too. He walked away again. As he made it to his tent, he decided he needed to think of some more strategies to deal with his students that weren't just running away. When he returned after an hour, he found most of his charges staring at their scrolls in an enthusiastic fashion. Jiang Yanli, however, was not. She was folding a piece of paper into some sort of fascinating shape while whispering to one of the Mu sisters. He was really going to need to figure out which one was which, who was trying to ignore her. "Jiang Yanli," he said, trying to keep his voice calm, "I can only assume you have already memorized all 76 rules." "Oh, yes," she waved her hand dismissively. "All done." "Then surely you can tell me rule 32. "Curfew is at 9 in the evening," she replied promptly. 65. "Dereliction of duty while standing guard shall be punished severely." 71. "No alcohol allowed," she replied, giving him one of those infuriating winks along with a smile. He shouldn't have asked her for that one. "Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll have forgotten them all by tomorrow anyway." "You are not treating this seriously," Lan Wangji didn't yell. Lan Wangji never yelled, but his voice held more emphasis than he usually allowed. "Are you so confident in your abilities that you do not need to be trained before being sent to the front?" he asked. She shrugged. "Oh, I'm pretty good." And she was absolutely not trying to flirt with him. She couldn't be. He needed her, them all, really, to know that this wasn't fun and games. This was war. "Then you will fight me," he said, drawing Bichen. "Take up your sword." Jiang Yanli's face dropped. "Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have sword," Lan Wangji bit out. She rose to her feet slowly, a little awkwardly. She hesitated, then took up a surprisingly good stance and drew her sword. Lan Wangji jumped. Their swords met. Jiang Yanli's sword went flying and she fell to the ground. Lan Wangji didn't know why, but he felt a little disappointed. He had no expectations for these students. He didn't usually have feelings about their level of cultivation when they arrived in his care. But there was something about her, maybe something about their aggressive conversations, something about her easy confidence and the twinkle in her eye, that made him feel like they were meant to meet each other as equals, meant to spar in a way that challenged them both. He looked at her, still lying on the ground, looking a little dazed, and she is Bichen. He turned back to the whole group. "Once you are confident you have memorized the rules, meditate to strengthen your golden core. I will return when it is time for the midday meal." Chapter 2. "Fuck!" Wei Wuxian said to Mu Jinju under his breath. "Fuck, fuck, fuck!" "Voice!" she hissed back at him. "Right," he said, resuming his impression of Jiang Yanli's elevated tone. "He'll get easier," Mu Jinju whispered over at him, laying a comforting hand across his. Wei Wuxian glared balefully at Hua Ban, his sister's sword. "If I had Sui Bian, I could have..." He looked longingly at Lan Wangji's back as he disappeared round a corner. "Could have what?" asked Mu Jinju. "Could have impressed him with your mighty sword?" Mu Jinju snorted. Shut up, Wei Wuxian said. He was not going to be embarrassed about wanting Lan Wangji to be impressed by him. He was not. Mu Yunju turned to him, her face having turned serious. Just remember why you're doing this. Right, he said again. Right. Wei Wuxian stiffened his spine and turned back to his scroll. His makeup itched. Fuck. 2 weeks earlier. Wei Wuxian stared at the letter. Wei Wuxian, Jiang Yanli started. No, absolutely not, no, Wei Wuxian cut her off. You can't go to war. It's a command from the emperor, not a request, she pointed out. Well, what are you planning to do? Wei Wuxian threw his hands up in the air. Go to war and get killed immediately? Go tell everyone that I am not useless, Jiang Yanli said fiercely. Tears gathered at the corners of her eyes. No, no, Wei Wuxian kneeled before her chair and grabbed both of her hands in his. You're wonderful, Xujia. You're brilliant and kind. You have so many skills. You're diplomatic and smart and so good at running Lotus Pier while your parents and Jiang Chang are gone. Jiang Yanli nodded a little and straightened her back. But Xujia, Wei Wuxian said, in the soft voice he used for his sister alone, you can't cultivate. Last time you tried, I remember, she said. They let the silence sit for a moment. But there's nothing for it, darling, she said. I know Mother thinks it's dreadful, that I'll shame the family if everyone knows. It would be even more shameful if I just seemed unwilling to do my duty. Wei Wuxian drooped. I will do my duty, she said. I will go to war, and I will try my best. When she woke the next morning, she found Hua Ban gone, and Sui Bian in its place. Wei Wuxian had thought most of his plan through, even though it was a little hastily done. He had sent a petition to the emperor to allow Jiang Yanli to remain in Lotus Pier for administrative reasons. Surely he wasn't aware that every other family member was already involved in the war. He left his sister a note explaining everything, and that as soon as he received the reply from the emperor, he'd return. He could protect her reputation, their family's reputation, Yu Ziyuan's reputation, until then. Wei Wuxian had known that fighting with his sister's sword would be difficult, as would pretending he wasn't one of the most talented and accomplished cultivators of his generation. He figured those two problems would balance themselves out somehow. What he had not anticipated was being joined by other scions of cultivation clans, much less Jin Zixuan. Jin Zixuan looked over at him as they ate dinner at a table in the mess, and then pointedly looked away. Wei Wuxian wanted to be offended on his sister's account, but he was also extremely glad that Jin Zixuan wasn't interested in him in that way. It would be a delicate tightrope for him to walk, and he had no idea what was going to happen after all of this. Perhaps Jin Zixuan would call off the engagement and never have cause to meet the real Yan Li again? The other three, though, Wen Ning, Yan Mian, and Ye Huaisang, he figured he could befriend without a lot of controversy. I mean, yes, maybe a little controversy, as he was supposed to be a respectable woman, and two of them were men, but life had to go on somehow. The Mu sisters were his friends, certainly, and Yinju was always a good partner in crime. But they had been assigned to Jiang Yanli since birth, not him. So, Wen Chenglin, he started. The boy didn't look up. Wen Ning? Yes, sorry, he said, letting his spoon clatter on the table. You don't have to be sorry, Wei Wuxian laughed. How are you finding the military so far? It's strange to be without my sister. I had been helping her on the front lines. She's a doctor, you know. But she thought it was time I learned to contribute in other ways. At least I'm used to being around a camp by now. I have a brother. I'm going to be just fine being away from him for a while. But I think I'm going to find military life hard to get used to, Wei Wuxian told him. No wine, no festivals, no... He looked down at his food, rice and broth. No anything beyond bare sustenance. Drama queen, Mu Jinju rolled her eyes. Nie Huaisang perked up and inserted himself in the conversation. Don't you have two brothers? Or an adopted brother? I've heard of Wei Wuxian. He's apparently very talented. My brother is always telling me to be more like him. Wei Wuxian beamed a little, but tried to stay composed. Yes, he's back at Lotus Pier. Anyway, is it true that you and Jin Zixuan are engaged? Nie Huaisang cut him off. Oh, well, you know, that had been what our mothers planned, but... Wei Wuxian looked desperately at Mu Yinju, the only topic more awkward than talking about himself in the third person. But the war has put all plans on hold, Mu Yinju said. Yes, right, Wei Wuxian agreed. Anyway, what have you heard about the war? My brother, Jiang Cheng, has been fighting on the western line. It seems like there's been more activity there lately. That must be why they're training more cultivators. I did hear that, Nie Huaisang said. My brother is one of the commanders of the Northern Front. In his last letter, he said the thing seems strangely quiet. Quiet is good, Wei Wuxian pointed out. Of course, Nie Huaisang replied, but the strange part isn't. My brother and his sworn brother, the other commander in his section of the border, think that the Huns are preparing for a larger push. Oh, is that Lan Zichen? Wei Wuxian asked. You must know all about the Lans, then. Tell me everything you know about Lan Guangji. Nie Huaisang shrugged. There's not much to tell. He's a brilliant soldier and cultivator, obviously. His uncle is an assistant to the emperor. But what a cold fish. Cold? Wei Wuxian mused. Maybe. Maybe we just need someone to liven up a bit. He's ridiculously beautiful, isn't he? Mu Yinju kicked him under the table. Ow, what? Wei Wuxian asked her, as if she hadn't just tried to warn him secretly. My lady, she began, and Wei Wuxian was recalled to himself. You wouldn't want your fiancé to overhear you talking about another man like that. Nie Huaisang looked hugely amused as Wei Wuxian blushed. Okay, it was a totally normal thing for a man to say about another man. It was obviously true, but it could be misconstrued coming from a woman. Well, no problem. He was making friends. He just needed to avoid Jin Zixuan, act like a normal but new at it cultivator, and not say anything else inappropriate about Lan Wenji. How hard could it be? Chapter 3. After a week or so, Lan Wenji thought he had at least had the measure of his recruits. Jin Zixuan had potential, but was too invested in his own importance to work hard. Wen Ning, everyone had given up on calling him Wen Chonglin, as he kept forgetting to respond to it. I don't spend time with many people other than my sister, he said quietly, was physically skilled and had potential, but lacked confidence. Nie Huaisang had no desire to be here or to work on improving himself. The Mu sisters seemed competent, but like they were holding themselves back. Luo Chengyan, everyone else addressed her as Nian Nian, but he would not, as he had expected from their first meeting, was his star pupil. Jiang Yan Li, however, made no sense. She was quick, nimble, physically strong, and seemed as if she was comfortable in fighting positions, but her combat cultivation was abysmal. Abysmal. Even the simplest of tasks seemed beyond her. She seemed intelligent, but perhaps she was as unwilling to put the work in, like Nie Huaisang? No, he had seen her moving through sword poses one evening. She moved fluidly, her face at peace in a way that was unusual for her, as her strong limbs whirled and stretched, and no, he was not going to think about that. Today, Lan Wenji told his charges, we will begin to learn flight on swords. Jiang Yanli paled, as the rest of them looked either excited or neutral. He raised an eyebrow. I'm just, afraid of heights, she said. You may fly close to the ground, then, Lan Wenji replied stonily. After a thorough explanation and a quick demonstration, Lan Wenji instructed them to practice on their own. They achieved varying levels of success, but Jiang Yanli did not move off the ground at all. She seemed frustrated, but entirely unable to raise her sword. Good work, Wen Ning, and you, Jin Zixuan. You may all go to dinner, Lan Wenji said, and they began to sheathe their swords. Jiang Yanli, please stay behind. Mu Jinju shot Jiang Yanli a fierce look as she walked away, and Jiang Yanli shrugged in return. Lan Wenji had no idea what it could mean. Jiang Yanli, he began. He looked around, and then led her behind one of the command tents. A location private enough that they could talk, but not so private that it was inappropriate. I promise I'll try harder, she said. I am growing concerned that effort is not the problem, Lan Wenji said, and moved towards her and took her wrist in his hand. She seemed so stunned at his action that she didn't move to pull her arm away before Lan Wenji could feel her heartbeat speeding up, the skin on the underside of her wrist soft and warm underneath his fingers. He sent a tendril of energy out to see if, as he suspected, there was something wrong with her golden core or her physical health. Lan Wenji was so stunned in turn that his grip on her wrist tightened and she let out a gasp. He had been so, so wrong. Her golden core wasn't deficient. It was tremendously powerful for someone of her age. It rivaled his own. He realized his grip must be hurting her. He could feel her heart racing, see a flush rise into her cheeks. He let go. After another moment, she moved forward a step. Jiang Yan Li, he said, I apologize. She looked as if a bucket of cold water had been splashed over her and took a step back. I suspected you had a fundamental issue with your cultivation, Mamunji tried to explain. But I see I was wrong. I should not have presumed. You, she said, her breath a little short, the tone of her voice rising and falling in a strange, sharpy way. You touched me to check on my cultivation level. That was why. We will discuss other possible implements to your flying tomorrow, Lan Wenji said, then left, feeling the beat of her racing heart echoing through him. Wei Wuxian lay in bed, the Mu sisters sleeping at the other end of the tent. He would normally have been asleep after such a long day. Well, normally, back at Lotus Pier, he would be just finishing dinner, but he wasn't at Lotus Pier. But sleep wasn't coming to him. He rubbed his hands over his face and eyes, for once free of makeup. He'd thought, for a minute he had thought, why does a man dig a woman behind a tent and then grab her? Never would have expected it of Lan Wangji, not because he was some kind of cold fish, but because he seemed too righteous for it. But Lan Wangji had pulled him away from prying eyes and had moved close to him, had touched his skin and then grabbed his wrist tight, hard. It hurt, and he had felt... Oh, he had felt... Wei Wuxian groaned. He had felt as a woman might, that's all. Lan Wangji was treating him as if he were a woman, had called him by his sister's name when Wei Wuxian would have... Well, Lan Wangji hadn't meant anything by it anyway. Everything was normal. Everything was fine. Okay, everything was not fine. Lan Wangji had figured out there was something fishy going on, and he was going to have to find a way to keep him from finding out any more truths. That was fine. He was just going to act like a respectable lady with an estranged fiancé nearby, and not spend a single second more thinking about any strange feelings that he might be experiencing. Well, after tonight, anyway. Tomorrow, surely, would be nothing but a distant memory. The next day, Lan Wangji had them try flying again. This time he looked over after helping Wen Ning and saw she was already a few inches off the ground, a triumphant smile on her face. It looked, well, strange somehow, like she was balancing on a foreign object rather than one she was controlling. But it was progress. After yesterday, he was happy enough not to look too closely. The talisman works, Wei Wuxian crowed softly. I don't know how you think this is a long-term solution, Wu Jinju said, but then added, it is impressive, though. When did you have the time? Oh, I couldn't sleep last night, Wei Wuxian said, trying to learn a whole new relationship between body and sword. It wasn't like flying on Sui Bian at all. After a while, he fell. He waited until Lan Wangji was looking away again and pulled out a second talisman. The practice really was helping. Too late, he noticed Nie Huaisang watching. But Nie Huaisang just winked at him and got back to his own business. Wei Wuxian thought things were going pretty well. He hadn't been alone with Lan Wangji at any time in the previous week, and the instructor seemed happy with his progress. Purely talisman-based, but he didn't need to know that. The Mu sisters had only needed to kick him 3 times for saying something inappropriate about Lan Wangji, and Jin Zixuan continued to ignore him studiously. He just needed to hang on a little longer. Surely the dispensation would come through at any moment. Then one day, he left the mess tent and was faced with something that stopped him in his tracks. To be fair, both Mian Mian and Mu Yanju were also standing like statues, staring ahead. I mean, really, Mian Mian said. Really. I know it's hard to tell what's going on under 5 layers, but really. Lan Wangji was helping Wen Ning with the sword forms. He was helping him by demonstrating. Demonstrating with far fewer clothes on than normal. See how the muscle tenses as my weight shifts from one leg to the other, Lan Wangji said to Wen Ning. Oh, I see, said Mu Yinju. In this form, where should I be holding the tension in my arm? Asked Wen Ning. Not in your arm at all, but in your chest and your back. Look, Lan Wangji said. Wei Wuxian looked. Now, Lan Wangji said to Wen Ning, still apparently unaware of their audience. Observe as I move through all the forms in the set. Pay attention to the muscles in my legs. They watched in silence for a significant span of time. His form is perfect, Mu Yanju said. Yes, his form, Wei Wuxian breathed out. Perfect. I should get offended on Jin Zixuan's behalf, but I can't even blame her this time, Mian Mian said to Mu Yanju. No one alive could blame us, Mu Yanju replied. Wei Wuxian didn't notice the conversation. Come on, Jiang Yan Li, Mu Yanju put a hand on his elbow. We better go before he notices us watching. But, Wei Wuxian protested, still staring. I know, Mu Yinju said sympathetically. She led him firmly away. Chapter 4. We're taking a field trip? Nie Huaisang asked excitedly. Not a field trip, Lan Wenji said. A scouting mission. You need to practice your situational awareness and tracking skills. A field trip, Wei Wuxian agreed. This should be fun. Lan Wenji glared at them all balefully. Pack sufficient supplies for 1 week. We leave at first light. It should have been fun when it was really only the eight of them. It was pretty hard to avoid Jin Zixuan, who was consistently extremely rude. And Wei Wuxian couldn't even say anything back because it was Jiang Yan Li who would be judged. After yet another obvious snub by the campfire, he got up. I'm taking a walk, he said. Consciously channeling Xu Jie's sweetness, because he was not feeling sweet. How dare Jin Zixuan imply that his sister was a bad cook, just because he had burned their noodles? Jiang Yan Li, the real Jiang Yan Li, would not have stomped off into an unknown forest in the middle of the night. Nor would the Mu sisters have let her. But Wei Wuxian was not used to worrying about his safety in mundane situations. He had, unfortunately, not gotten used to being without Su Yan. He was getting better at improvising small talismans to make up for his lack of sword, but it wasn't the same. He was reminded of this, quite forcefully, when the ground crumbled under him and he felt the sickening lurch that came with falling. Lan Wenji treated all his students alike. He would have been concerned for any of his students who had been gone that long. No one else seemed concerned, not even her attendants, who just shrugged and said that she could handle herself. Lan Wenji was very well aware of both her intelligence and her limitations. She seemed to still think he hadn't noticed that she was using talismans for everything, which was mildly amusing, but she had left so abruptly that she took nothing with her, took nothing but her sword with her, the sword she still couldn't use properly. Lan Wenji had been avoiding seeing Jiang Yan Li alone ever since the incident, and he had also been desperately looking for a chance to see her alone. He was aware it made no sense. None of it made any sense, but that was not why he was going to go look for her. He was concerned for her safety. Stay here. If I need help, I'll send up a flare, and you are to return to camp to get help immediately, he told the rest of them. They all nodded, taking only a brief break from their conversations. Her track was easy enough to follow for a while, and it seemed she'd been going in circles, retracing her path, which made the process more difficult. He grew more and more worried as he didn't hear her. Finally, he came upon what appeared to be some kind of sinkhole. He looked down. Oh, hello, Jiang Yan Li said, sounding very far away. I can't see who you are, so I hope you're not a fierce corpse or an enemy soldier. I am neither, Lan Wenji replied. Phew, maybe you could help me get out of here then? It's actually quite spacious and pretty, but the accommodations leave something to be desired. Lan Wenji made his way down the hole, which narrowed as it went down. When he finally reached the bottom, he could see what she meant. There was a pool surrounded by rock formations, and a bit of moonlight filtered down from other imperceptible small holes in the ceiling of the cavern. It really looks like there should be some other way out, but if there is, it's underwater, and I wasn't ready to go for that option quite yet, Jiang Yan Li said as he reached her, sitting on a smooth ledge. I figured someone would come looking. I came looking, Lan Wenji told her. Yes, you did, she smiled. Are you okay? Did you sustain any injuries in your fall? I'm fine. A few bruises, I'm sure, but nothing serious. Lan Wenji sat down beside her. Jiang Yan Li, I know this is a difficult topic, but you are aware that you should be able to get out of here on your own, with your sword. Lan Wenji tried to keep his voice as gentle as he could. I know, she sighed. If only, well, there is a problem with your sword? No, my sword is great. Everyone knows I use Huaban. Okay, I'm clearly having some issues, I know. It's just, none of this was supposed to happen, you know? Lan Wenji looked at the moonlight glinting off her hair, her rosebud lips, the curve of her cheek. I know. I've been doing well, though. I've been getting better, pulling my weight. Yes, your skill with talismans is extraordinary. She looked down. Oh, you noticed that? They sat in silence for a while, enjoying the peaceful sound of the water flowing from an unseen spring. Lan Wenji was not a man of many words, but he knew when the occasion called for plain speech. He turned to her. You can talk to me if you want to. I will listen. Her smile twisted a little, but she met his eyes and said, Thank you. I believe you would. "When you are ready," Mamanji said. He could wait for her. She nodded, and more emotion than he expected showed itself in her voice as she said, "When I'm ready." Mamanji was not gazing into her eyes. He was absolutely not looking at her lips. She sprang up, cleared her throat. "How are we going to get out of here?" "I will take you on my sword." Oh, yes, she said, flustered. "Right. Do you have any other suggestions?" he asked, wondering how it had not yet occurred to her that their exit from the cave was going to be, well, awkward. It looked like 1,000 thoughts flashed behind her eyes, and then she shook her head no. "None that are as safe." "Safe for who?" Mamanji wondered, as he balanced on his sword and positioned her at his side. "Was this a nightmare?" Wei Wuxian asked himself. "Maybe a wet dream? Definitely one or the other." Mamanji was holding him close and steadying him with large hands on his waist. Fuck, noticing the size of his hands? Put one piece of evidence in the wet dream column. The passage was narrow enough that they were pressed against each other at points, sometimes from different and unexpected directions. Surely at one of these spots, Lan Wenji was going to notice the padding on his chest didn't feel the way real breasts would. Did Lan Wenji know what breasts felt like? Did he have a lot of experience with them? Was Wei Wuxian getting jealous? For fuck's sake. They were divided by so many robes, but he could feel Lan Wenji's muscles moving to adjust his stance, could feel his breath on his cheek. "Are you well?" Lan Wenji asked. "Uh-huh," he replied. "You could do this. It was just a matter of will and concentration." What was unfortunately not just a matter of rolling concentration was that Wei Wuxian was getting hard. There was just a lot of rubbing and shifting happening. How was anyone supposed to react to that? He kept trying to angle his body away, with only moderate success at being subtle. Lan Wenji may or may not have recognized a padded corset, but he would definitely get suspicious if he felt a dick poking at his hip. Suspicious and probably grossed out. If Lan Wenji was his friend, it was maybe just a little bit into him, it was because he thought Wei Wuxian was Jiang Yan Li, a girl. A girl who wasn't lying to him. That one went straight into the nightmare column. They finally emerged into the forest, covered in dirt, panting, and unable to look each other in the eye. "Jiang Yan Li, I meant no disrespect," Lan Wenji said seriously. "Nope, no disrespect. No disrespect happened anywhere to anyone. It was just an emergency situation. Could have happened to anyone." "Perhaps we will not describe this part in detail to your fiancé." "Ugh, my fiancé," Wei Wuxian put his hand over his face. "Right. You do not want to marry him?" Lan Wenji asked. Well, yes, I suppose I do want to marry him. Someday. But who knows? What was he supposed to say here? Jiang Yan Li did want to. He couldn't just go around telling people she didn't like Jinji Swan. "Of course," Lan Wenji replied. On the last night of the trip, Lan Wenji told his students that their final task for the trip was to get back to the camp the next day without him, and he took off back to the camp on his sword. It wasn't what he had planned, but now that he thought about it, it probably was a good teaching tool. The trick was he just needed to get away. He was apparently having feelings for a woman, an engaged woman at that, whose fiancé treated her terribly, and who he wanted to punch all the time, but he couldn't because he was also his student. Feeling the air rush past him, he tried to approach that first thought again. Was what he was feeling towards Jiang Yan Li truly romantic attraction? Sexual attraction? He had spent so many years patiently telling his family again and again that he was who he was, that they had to accept him for who he was. Could he have been so wrong? He had to admit he wanted to kiss her. He respected her, despite whatever problems she was having. Her ingenuity with talismans and her determination to make it work was admirable. He wanted to spend more time with her. So, romantic attraction, yes. He couldn't quite manage to imagine the sexual part. He wasn't even entirely certain how one was supposed to go about pleasing a woman. He'd always tuned those parts of any conversation out with his peers, and had never bothered looking at those kinds of books. I suppose he could imagine touching her breasts, but they hadn't seemed that appealing to her in that unbelievable passage through the cave. They had felt a little springy, which was fine. He had never had any problems picturing himself with nameless, faceless men. Quite the opposite of problems, in fact. He spent more time than was appropriate for a self-disciplined Lan teenager picturing such things. What the muscles on another man's chest would feel like. What the hair leading to his groin would look like. What it would feel like if he held him down. It seemed a little inappropriate to think of Jiang Yan Li that way. Wasn't it a little rude to imagine forcing someone down who really couldn't push back? He'd need to come back to that thought when he was on a more even keel. None of it mattered anyway. This was the important conclusion. It didn't matter because he was going to prepare her to go to war. She was going to go, and then she was going to marry Jin Zixuan. Whatever anomalous feelings he was having were entirely beside the point. He would just go back to ignoring it all. Firmly. 2 hours later, he was in his tent at the camp, crying on his brother's shoulder. Lan Zichen and Nie Mingjue had arrived when they were away, as the army was allocating resources away from the northern front. They weren't sure where the pressure was going to come from, but they were pretty sure the Huns were no longer gathering on that side of the border. Away from the front, the two commanders had decided they could relax a little, and Nie Mingjue had pulled out the wine he had brought with them. Lan Wangji wanted to be outraged when he went to join his brother for dinner, but he seemed to be out of energy for things like that. So when Lan Zichen, who had a much better tolerance than him, had a cup of wine, and Nie Mingjue had pushed one into Lan Wangji's hand as a thanks for trying to get his little brother to shape up, he downed it. "Oh shit," Nie Mingjue said. "I was just joking. Zichen, you know I was just joking." "I know," Zichen said, looking at Lan Wangji with concern. "Then some things happened, probably." There were some voices. Then he was in his tent, lying on his bed, with Lan Zichen in a chair beside him. Nie Mingjue was nowhere to be found. He sat up, and the room spun. But he didn't care. He needed to talk to his brother, the only person he could talk to. He tried to start talking. But then some more things happened, probably. Then he was sitting at this table with his brother, with a cup of water in his hand. It was half empty. "Brother, I need to talk to you," Lan Wangji said. "So you keep saying," Lan Zichen replied, grinning. "Are you actually going to talk this time?" "Is Nie Mingjue here? It's private." "No, he's gone. You told him to leave about 10 times. He thought he could put it out of his mind firmly. He thought he could put her out of his mind, but he can't. "Brother," he started. He lowered his voice to a whisper. "You know how I am, like men." "Yes," Zichen said, trying hard not to laugh. "What if?" Lan Wangji lowered his voice even further, and Lan Zichen's brow creased with worry. "What if I don't?" "What if you don't?" Lan Zichen did not keep his voice down. He couldn't keep the absolute incredulity from it either. "I mean, I do, obviously," Lan Wangji hastened to explain. Zichen nodded. "But what if I also like women? Well, one woman. Oh, I hope only one woman. Oh no, what if I like multiple women?" "You like a woman? In particular woman?" Lan Zichen asked. Lan Wangji could tell he was trying to be understanding, to be a good brother. "You see," Lan Wangji said, "you can't believe it either." "I'm struggling," Lan Zichen admitted. "But Wangji, you know I have always only wanted you to be happy. If this makes you happy, then I think that's great." Lan Wangji put his head down on the table. "I'm not happy. I'm miserable. Can you imagine me telling Uncle after all our fights?" "Yes, that would be unpleasant, I understand, but that's not a good reason to deny yourself happiness." "That's not why." "Then why?" "She's engaged." "Wait, you, my brother, Lan Wangji, Ajahn, have developed an attachment to an engaged woman. A woman. A woman who is engaged," Zichen spoke slowly. "Yes." There was a pause, and then, "Are you sure?" burst out from Lan Zichen before he could stop himself. "No, I'm sorry, of course you're sure. You're always sure." "I mean it, Wangji, no matter who, I'm here beside you." "I just, a woman? What am I supposed to do with a woman?" Lan Wangji asked. "Well, traditionally, marry her, have children, like many other men do." "I can't see it," Lan Wangji finally raised his head from the table. "But I'm not sure I can see myself with anyone else." "Oh, baby brother," Lan Zichen came around and let Lan Wangji rest his head on his shoulder like they used to do as children. Chapter 5. When he returned to camp, Wei Bushan was greeted by yelling. "Where is my sister?" a familiar voice rang out. "I demand to see her immediately." "As I said," Lan Wangji said implacably, "she's due to return soon." "Well, which direction did she go in? I'll go find her if you can't bother to keep an eye on your charges," Jiang Cheng snarled. "Jiang Cheng!" Wei Wuxian called out, hoping to avoid them coming to blows. Jiang Cheng looked up and saw him. He opened his mouth, closed it again, looked some more. Finally, Jiang Cheng came over to Wei Wuxian and grabbed his arm. "Where can we go to talk?" he hissed. "So I demand leave to go and take care of my sister, who is in delicate health and for some wild reason has agreed to join the army. And I rush over here and I find you? Good news, my health isn't delicate at all," Wei Wuxian said. "Your common sense is delicate. What in the world were you thinking? Can you imagine how embarrassed Mother will be if you get caught dressing up as a woman in front of half of the cultivation world?" "Well, then you'd better help me not get caught." "What were you thinking?" Jiang Cheng shouted. Wei Wuxian sat at a table in the guest tent. His face grew serious. "Jiang Cheng, she was going to come here. She was going to come here and she was going to feel like a failure in front of everyone at best, or get herself killed at worst. I couldn't let that happen." "And this is what you came up with?" Jiang Cheng hissed. "This?" He gestured with his hands to encompass the entirety of Wei Wuxian's body. "How else was I supposed to protect her?" Wei Wuxian asked, letting some of his desperation show. "Why didn't you just have Mu Yanzhu pretend to be her, since you brought her along anyway?" Jiang Cheng pushed out from between his teeth. A silence. "Oh," well, Wei Wuxian said. "Well, yes, okay, that would have been a good idea." Jiang Cheng put his head in his hands. "It's too late now. Now you just have to go along with it. Oh, and did they tell you Jin Zixuan is also here? Oh my god, Yan Li is going to murder you." "He's awful, by the way. He's so rude to her," Wei Wuxian said. "He's rude to you," Jiang Cheng pointed out. "You, who are not as pretty or sweet or kind or gentle as our real sister." "I'm pretty," Wei Wuxian said, offended. "Some people find me pretty." "Who is finding you pretty? Oh god, do I need to be protective over another sister now?" "Don't worry about it," Wei Wuxian said quickly. "I was just joking." "Oh no, that means you weren't joking. Who are you ruining our sister's reputation with?" "No one," Wei Wuxian said. "It's just been a weird month, okay? A really weird month." "I bet. I sent a letter to the Emperor, asking for Jiang Yanli to be allowed to state Lotus Pier. It's such a reasonable request, I'm sure he won't refuse. This is temporary." "Non-military mail has not gotten through to the Emperor for the past 2 months," Jiang Cheng gritted out. "There was an assassin who made it all the way to his private chambers. His location is now secret, so, you know, no mail." "No mail," Wei Wuxian echoed. "Fuck. Hold on, are you carrying Huaban?" Jiang Cheng asked. "Yes," Wei Wuxian answered woodenly. "Where's Sui Bian?" "With Jiang Yanli." "Oh my god, you can't go into battle without Sui Bian." "I wasn't planning on staying here long enough to go into battle. I can't carry Sui Bian, people will know it's me." "Well," Jiang Cheng said wryly, "I guess I am here to prevent my sister from going to battle after all." The camp was uneasy as they waited for further orders. Would the army be told to go back to the northern border? Was the peace there just a trick? As Wei Wuxian was still in training, he didn't have the same absence of responsibility that saw Jiang Cheng, Nie Mingjue, and Lan Zicheng pacing throughout the space. Well, Lan Zicheng wasn't pacing. He was doing a lot of speculative looking at people, though. Wei Wuxian assumed he must be looking for likely people to join his team of elite troops or something like that. So, Wei Wuxian kept improving his talismans, kept making sure his body was strong enough to wield Sui Bian when he could again. Kept not thinking about certain things, certain people. He wasn't sleeping so well. After one really terrible night of tossing and turning, he let his control slip. He was sparring with Mu Yanzhu, who was taking it very easy on him, when Huaban was knocked out of his hand yet again. "Can you believe," Jin Zixuan said to Mian Yan, "that Mother really expects me to marry her?" Mian Yan frowned at him disapprovingly. Lan Wangji tightened his jaw, and Wei Wuxian whirled to face him. "You really are absolutely intolerable, aren't you? I don't care what your mother has arranged, so put your mind at ease. I can tell you that, as long as I have a say in it, this marriage will not be happening." He stormed away. It wasn't untrue. If Wei Wuxian had a say, he wasn't going to let his sister marry someone who would mock her or be cruel to her over her inability to cultivate. He wasn't even going to let Jin Zixuan get close, no matter how Yan Li had built him up in her mind. She was simply going to have to find someone else. Someone who could be kind and respectful, and who could appreciate her for her good qualities, not just despite her health issues. Someone who treated her well. Someone who treated her the way Lan Wangji had been treating him. No, her had been treating her. Wei Wuxian needed to remember that. Lan Wangji was treating someone else, someone fictional that way, not him. He wouldn't be looking at him that way if he knew he was a man. That night, Mu Yanzhu congratulated him, then slapped him upside the head. "It needed to be said," agreed Mu Yanzhu. The look on his face, it was priceless. I'm glad you agree with me. Yan Li can't marry him, Wei Wuxian said. Well, Yinju said, I don't know about that. Yan Li will marry whoever she wants to, Mui Jinju put it more plainly. And you won't be stopping her either. But it's not a bad thing for him to hear that not everyone loves him all the time, Mu Yinju said. He does need to do some growing up. You know who else had a great look on his face? Mu Jinju asked, her grin twisting a little aggressively. I'll leave him alone, Mu Yinju told her sister. Who? Asked Wei Wuxian. Lan Wenji. He looked thrilled. I mean, as much as he ever looks thrilled, Mu Jinju said. I'm sure he was also happy to see Jin Zixuan shut up for once, Wei Wuxian said. Jinju snorted. Oh yeah, that's why. Wei Wuxian spent another sleepless night feeling even worse. He had really messed up. He liked Lan Wenji. He liked him a lot. And Lan Wenji was going to be so hurt when he found out. Had he really been happy to learn that the engagement between him and Jin Zixuan, well, no, the engagement between Zhang Yan Li and Jin Zixuan was over? By now, Wei Wuxian had mostly given up on pretending that he wasn't most of the way in love with Lan Wenji. It had been a difficult night, that last night on the field trip. He had said something about Lan Wenji, and Mu Jinju had given Mu Yinju a pointed look, and Mu Yinju pulled him away from the group and gently told him he could talk about it with her. There's nothing to talk about, Wei Wuxian insisted. Everyone thinks Lan Wenji is the most beautiful man in the world. Well, she hedged, he is certainly considered very attractive and eligible. And so everyone wants to kiss his face. Mu Yinju took his hand. No. Not everyone wants to kiss his face. I think you do, though. But, like, in a totally normal way. I'm not saying it isn't normal. There's nothing bad about it. But we need you to know, Wei Wuxian. It had been so long since someone had used his real name. We think you're having some very personal feelings that not everyone has. You're saying you don't want to kiss him? Wei Wuxian asked. I absolutely do not want to kiss him. Not even one little bit. He looked at her. Huh. If we were in different circumstances, I would be very happy for you right now, she said. But just because I will have personal feelings for him doesn't mean he has them for me, Wei Wuxian sighed. Not for the real you. Not all of it anyway. You've actually done a pretty terrible job at pretending not to be yourself, other than the voice and the clothes and makeup and all stuff. Good talk, Wei Wuxian said. Maybe he could have come clean to Lan Wenji. Could have explained how all of this was to save his sister, made him swear not to reveal it to anyone. He was sure Lan Wenji would stick to his word. But it was too late now. Now if he told him, he'd lose what they had. So here he was, desperately wanting Lan Wenji to love him back. But knowing that if he did love him back, it would be even worse. The letter came the next morning. Scouts had discovered that the Huns were massing to the west, and the emperor was planning for the army to stand at the Tung Shao Pass. They were all to join the rest of the troops as soon as possible. Not all, Jiang Cheng declared. We need to leave someone in charge here, as well as people to relay any messages that might arrive. And some of the recruits aren't ready yet. Nian Mingjue turned to Lan Wenji. Is this true? Are the recruits ready or not? The recruits have made a tremendous amount of progress, Lan Wenji said carefully. I think they could each be an asset in their own way. You're just covering for her, Jiang Cheng said, sounding disgusted. I am not. Maybe she shouldn't be on the front line, but she has other valuable skills. I'm lost, Nian Mingjue said. Who are we talking about? Jiang Yan Li, Zhang Chan told him. My sister is not capable of fighting safely. She has no control over her sword. There's nothing wrong with her cultivation. She could, Lan Wenji began to argue. But Zhang Chan cut him off sharply. You don't know her. Zhang Chan let that blow land before continuing. You think you know her, but you don't know my sister at all. Lan Wenji felt as if Jiang Cheng had shot an arrow right into his chest. Nian Mingjue broke the silence. Then Jiang Yanli must stay here. What about the rest of them, Lan Wenji? The rest should go with you, he said. I'll retain only enough people to keep the camp functional, as well as those not permitted to go. Although he had gotten his way, Jiang Cheng looked displeased. Chapter 6. The commanders and their troops left for the Tung Shao Pass the next morning. Lan Wenji had expected Jiang Yanli to be more upset over being left behind, but she seemed resigned to it. More time to practice, right? She said. Her determination really was incredible. Of course, it was different without the other six students present. It was just Lan Wenji and Jiang Yanli all day long. It was an oddly peaceful period. They had no real responsibilities, except the most basic tasks to keep the camp in good order and ready for a large influx of wounded fighters if things went badly. Jiang Yanli did, in fact, practice. She continued to make amazing intuitive leaps with her talismans, and Lan Wangji admired her so much. But what Jiang Cheng said was true. He really didn't know her. She still hadn't told him why she was unable to fight properly, even though obviously she herself knew. She hadn't made any kind of declaration of emotion. Stories she told him of her life were fascinating, vivid, interesting, until something would change in her and her words would get vague. Lan Wangji thought that sometimes Jiang Yanli looked at him like he looked at her. She was physically careful around him, as if she wanted to get closer, but knew that to do so would be disaster. Lan Wangji knew the feeling. But she was not ready. It didn't matter. As long as she didn't marry Jin Zixuan, Lan Wangji would wait. Perhaps he would wait even if she married someone else. Heavens, that was a sobering thought. Without noticing it happening, Lan Wangji had put his heart in her care. He had to trust her to treat it gently. He'd always trusted himself and his decisions before. This was unexpected, unexpected in the extreme. But Lan Wangji had to admit to himself that he knew. He had known all along. She was it for him. He was content to know her and wait. Then the letter arrived. It flew itself into the camp in the shape of a bird, and upon finding Lan Wangji, landed and unfolded. It was highly unusual to see messages sent this way. In fact, the only person he knew who could do it was. "It's a letter from my uncle," he told Jiang Yanli as he began to read. "What does it say?" she asked, as she watched his face grow more and more grave. He started to narrate as he went. "My uncle, Lan Qiren, is with the Emperor. He's been changing locations to avoid assassins sent by the Hun King. They've received intelligence that there's going to be attack on him at first light tomorrow, a large attack. They don't have enough people to protect both the Emperor and the town that's harboring him." "What town?" Jiang Yanli asked, voice strained, but Lan Wangji knew she could tell from his expression, even before he spoke. "Lotus Pier. The Emperor is at Lotus Pier." "There's no way to get a message to the Tung Shao Pass fast enough. Even if we could, they couldn't get to Lotus Pier by tomorrow morning," Jiang Yanli said hollowly. "No," Lan Wangji agreed. "I'm sorry, but I can reach Lotus Pier by evening, and certainly I could help. Maybe..." "You have to take me with you," Jiang Yanli told him. "Fly me on your sword." "It will be dangerous for you. As skilled as you are with talismans and in non-combat tasks, there will undoubtedly be fighting." She looked at him and brought her hand up to his cheek. "Do you trust me?" she asked him. "Yes," Lan Wangji answered. It was as simple as that. "You have to take me with you." It was a harrowing trip. Lan Wangji appreciated the closeness of Jiang Yanli holding onto his waist, leaning into him as they flew as fast as he could manage. But they were both too worried to get lost in it. On top of the worry, something else seemed wrong with Jiang Yanli. After she had received his pledge of trust, she had avoided looking at him in the eye. She looked not just worried, but also sad. She directed him to a small clearing right outside the gate of Lotus Pier. The sun was barely starting to set. They would have all night to plan their defenses. But as Lan Wangji moved towards the gate, Jiang Yanli stopped him. "Wait," she said, holding onto his arm. "Give me just 1 minute of your time." "Yes, of course," Lan Wangji replied. "What is it?" "Things could change very drastically in the next half day," she said. I don't know if we'll have a moment like this again," she said. Lan Wangji's heart started to race. It was a terrible circumstance, but if it led her to make a confession of love, then something good could come of it. "I'm afraid," Jiang Yanli said. "For your safety?" Lan Wangji asked. "I will do everything I can to protect you." "No," she laughed, although it was not a happy sound. "But I value you so much, Lan Wangji. No matter what happens, please know that. I truly care about you, and I never meant..." Lan Wangji cut her off with a kiss. She seemed hesitant at first. Maybe it was because he wasn't doing a very good job. He hadn't really done this before. But soon they were both lost in it. She flung her arms around him and held him tight as they bit at each other's lips, pressed against each other with an endless desperation. Oh, he wasn't alone in this. She felt it too. It was such a tremendous relief that Lan Wangji could barely hold himself back from savaging her right there. "Ahem," came a voice, sounding as if it was perhaps not the first time it had tried to get their attention. They sprung apart. Jiang Yanli looked profoundly shocked and moved her hand up to her lips. It was Lan Qiren. "Uncle," Lan Wangji said, extremely flustered. He wasn't used to being flustered. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry. Sorry? Lan Chiren asked incredulously. Well, gee, this is wonderful. What a lovely young woman you found here. We must plan the wedding immediately. Wedding? Chang Yanli squawked. You don't even know her name or what sect she belongs to, and you want us to marry? Lan Wenji asked. You could have expected something like this reaction, but it was really too much. Of course. You were just... Lan Chiren gestured vaguely. One kiss isn't going to entirely ruin my reputation. Marriage seems a little hasty, Jiang Yanli said. Marriage, Lan Chiren said firmly. Immediately. Lan Wenji sighed. He turned to Jiang Yanli and said, I will explain when we have a moment in private. Oh, said Jiang Yanli, I think I'd better explain some things first. It's very important, Lan Wenji. I let myself get a little carried away there, but I need to talk to you. She looked over at Lan Chiren, who was beaming at her. In private. Lan Wenji was just taking her arm to draw her away from his uncle when another figure came through the gate. A young woman in Jiang purple, carrying a sword, came running towards them. Oh, you're here, you're here, you made it in time, she gasped, hugging Jiang Yanli so tightly. I made it, Jiang Yanli said, burying her face in the new woman's hair briefly. Then she straightened her shoulders and turned back to Lan Wenji. He had desperately, desperately wanted to tell Lan Wenji in private, especially since they'd shared that kiss. What would Lan Wenji think of him, having let that go on as long as it did? But he knew it wasn't going to happen again, not after Lan Wenji knew. And he was too weak to put a stop to the one time he would get to have him like that. There was no use putting it off anymore. Hopefully, Lan Wenji's uncle would keep his nephew's secret that he'd kissed a man, and if he hadn't been aware of it, and it wouldn't harm his reputation in the future. Well, here they went. This is my sister, Jiang Yanli, Wei Wuxian said, allowing his voice to return to its normal tone, which felt odd and almost unnatural after so long. Lan Wenji stared at him flatly. I don't understand. What is confusing? Asked Lan Chiren. This young lady is Jiang Yanli. She's been an excellent hostess to us at Lotus Pier for the past week. Jiang Yanli looked at Wei Wuxian in concern. She put a comforting hand on his arm. It would be okay, he told himself. Somehow, it would be okay. At the very least, he was here and could protect his sister and his home. Then who are you? Lan Wenji asked Wei Wuxian. His face was absolutely frozen. Wei Wuxian opened his mouth, but he couldn't. No sound came out. This is my brother, Wei Wuxian, Jiang Yanli said. Your brother? Lan Chiren sounded horrified. Brother, Lan Wenji echoed, sounding, well, not horrified, but something, that's for sure. I wanted to protect my sister from the danger of going to war. I'm so sorry for the deceit. It went so much further than I expected, he told Lan Wenji. I didn't expect you. Please don't hate me. You're a man, Lan Chiren said, sounding frustrated and resigned. Of course. You're a man, Lan Wenji said. Thank the heavens, he added under his breath. What? Wei Wuxian asked. We don't have time to waste, Lan Chiren said, all business now. All those capable of fighting are meeting in the main courtyard at sunset to make a plan of action. Be there. We went back through the gate, muttering something about dishonor and cows, leaving them staring at each other, with Jiang Yanli flicking her eyes back and forth between them. It is so good to see you, brother, Jiang Yanli said. Here is your sword. That's why. It was never your sword, Lan Wenji realized. I thought you were incapable for some reason. Wei Wuxian? No, he's brilliant. One of the best cultivators we've ever had here at Lotus Pier. His martial exploits are legend, Jiang Yanli told Lan Wenji, not allowing the slander of her brother to stand for one second. I've heard of you, Lan Wenji said to him. I suppose the training was a joke, given what you can do. No, Wei Wuxian protested. I really improved my skills. I invented more talismans than I ever have before. You are extremely talented at talismans, Lan Wenji agreed. Okay, yes, but are my cultivation talents really what you want to be talking about right now? Wei Wuxian asked him. Aren't you more concerned with the fact that I was lying to you? That I'm not even a woman? Or was the kiss just... did it not mean anything to you? Okay, I'm returning to the house, Jiang Yanli said quickly. Wei Wuxian, please come find me after the meeting. On her way, she patted Wei Wuxian comfortingly on his arm, and, with a moment's hesitation, did the same to Lan Wenji. She left them and walked back inside at a quick clip. I care about you very much, Lan Wenji said, taking Wei Wuxian's hands in his own. At least the version of you that I know. I would like to get to know the other version as well. As a friend? Wei Wuxian asked dubiously. If that is what you want, And when she replied, "Is that what you want?" "No," Wei Wuxian said. "When your uncle talked about us getting married, well, of course I knew I couldn't, not while I was pretending, but I wished I could. I'm sorry, Lan Wangji, I don't want to be making you uncomfortable." "Lan Zhan," he said, "please call me Lan Zhan. Please don't call me Jiang Yanli anymore. That ended up being so weird. You can call me Wei Ying if you want." Lan Wangji nodded, not widely, but a definite smile. "How are you so calm?" Wei Wuxian asked. "I have to say, I took much longer time than this to realize." realizing I was in love with a man. "I am in love with you too," Lan Wangji said tenderly. "We have many things to discuss." "Don't promise me anything yet," Wei Wuxian said. "I don't even know what I normally look like." Lan Wangji walked into the courtyard. His uncle was displeased, and he was not in love with a woman. All was right with the world. His eyes were immediately drawn to a young man wearing, not Jiang purple, but black with red accents. The man turned to him and, oh, it was the beloved face of the woman who he had known as Jiang Yanli, but also it wasn't. Jiang Yanli had been beautiful and dear, but Wei Wuxian, he was the most gorgeous human Lan Wangji had ever seen. It was as if all the things that had made up his appearance before were just more. Stronger jaw, more defined features, more radiant eyes. He stood lean and tall, and he looked dangerous, holding Sui Bian, his own sword. His eyes met Wei Wuxian's, Wei Ying's, across the open space, and they held. "Some decorum, please," Lan Jiren hissed. How long had Lan Wenji been staring? The head of the guards had begun to talk, and Wei Ying looked like he wanted to laugh. Not at him, but with him. How else could Lan Wenji have possibly reacted with him standing over there looking like that? "Honestly," Lan Jiren said, this time giving him a gentle nudge in the side. Lan Wangji finally turned his attention to planning. There were only 10 of them here to defend, and their intelligence was that the Huns would send at least 30. "It's going to be a challenge, certainly," the head of the guard said. "With our first disciple Wei Wuxian back with us, and the commander Lan Wangji here as well, I think we have a good chance." Lan Wangji had never felt that his Jiang Yanli's cultivation difficulties made a difference to how he felt about her. And truly they didn't. But fighting side by side with Wei Ying was sublime. He was good. He was phenomenal. The stories he had heard about Wei Wuxian didn't do him justice. But Lan Wangji himself was fighting more fluidly, more cooperatively than he ever had in his life, too. He only let himself get a little distracted by Wei Ying's beauty once. Okay, maybe twice. Even so, the barriers and traps organized by Jiang Yanli, the real one, funneled the 30 Han soldiers toward the fighters, and none walked away. The other 8 cultivators, a mix of Jiang disciples and members of the Emperor's Guard, performed admirably as well. But no one could deny that Wei Wuxian and Lan Wangji were the fulcrum on which the battle rested. Once the sun was fully up, the battle was done. "Wei Ying," Lan Wangji said, clutching his hand. They were covered in blood, and it didn't matter at all. "Can we speak?" "Yes, absolutely, of course," Wei Wuxian rambled as he drew Lan Wangji around a corner, into a little recessed spot in the hallway leading off of the courtyard. Lan Wangji moved close to him. "Do you want to talk through the whole I'm into other men thing? Mu Yinju helped me a lot with that, although I can't remember quite what she said," Wei Wuxian offered. "No," said Lan Wangji and kissed him. He pressed him back against the wall, and this was so much better. He bit at Wei Wuxian's neck and moved his thigh to press between his legs, and Wei Wuxian was making the best noises. "Lan Wangji," Lan Qiren's voice rang out. "Really?" Lan Wangji pulled away with regret. Wei Wuxian was looking at him with pupils blown wide, a flush on his cheeks, and bite marks on his neck, and maybe Lan Wangji could just... "Oh, for heaven's sakes," Lan Qiren said. "I suppose we really will have to plan the wedding quickly after all." "Wedding?" Wei Wuxian asked. He looked at Lan Wangji. "Can we do that? Sorry, I'm new to being a cut sleeve." "I don't see why not," said Lan Wangji, who had thought through the ramifications of this a decade ago. "Yes, yes," Lan Qiren said. "We have long planned for this eventuality." "You have?" Wei Wuxian asked, bewildered. "Certainly. I may have preferred a niece-in-law, but I will not have my nephew in a dishonorable relationship with anyone, not even a man, as he has always assured us his choice in a life partner would be." "For one moment there, I hoped," Lan Qiren trailed off wistfully. "You did?" Wei Wuxian asked Lan Wangji. "I'm confused." "So was I," Lan Wangji told him. "We have much to talk about." "Under the observant eyes of a chaperone," Lan Qiren interjected. "We haven't even decided," Wei Wuxian started. Wei Ying, if you need more time, we can wait. But I am certain. Will you marry me? Lan Wangji asked. Yes, yes, of course, he replied. He looked sideways at Lan Qiren. As soon as possible. We need to wait for our brothers to arrive, but depending on what happened at the Tengshao Pass, that shouldn't be more than a week. Well, come on, Lan Qiren sighed. Go get cleaned up. The Emperor wants to meet the heroes of the day. The Emperor thanked them and commended their quick actions and brave fighting. And then, noticing the large, suspiciously red mark on Wei Wuxian's neck, obtained quite loudly right outside the audience chamber, also congratulated them on their engagement. After they left, the Emperor looked at Lan Qiren's chagrined face. The flower that blooms in adversity is the most rare and beautiful of all, the Emperor told him. Yes, Your Imperial Majesty, Lan Qiren sighed. The end. End notes. Please know that Nie Huaisang absolutely used his fan at the Tengshou Pass battle like Mulan does on the roof of the palace. You can find me on Tumblr at Carrie Arentikai or on Twitter at Carrie Ultrachi. Okay, so I did it. I think this was maybe kind of different from a lot of the cool reads I listened to that I didn't really comment during the fic. Just because I think it would have felt different doing it on my own fic. Than my reaction to somebody else's. I guess I can give a couple little things that if I had said something I would have said. Mu I chose as the name for the handmaidens because of Mushu from the movie Mulan, since they are his psychic in this psychic plural. And yeah, so this was fun. I might have noticed voices aren't necessarily something that I'm good at or maybe even interested in developing super elaborately. I do want to make sure that the dialogue is clear who's speaking it. So, I mean, I guess don't be mean. No one in fandom is ever really mean, but let me know, I guess, if this style worked for you and whether I should consider doing something like this again or if you have any advice or... Yeah. So thanks so much for listening. Bye.